Today we're reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You'll be able to find it up on the screen today, but if you want to follow along in your Bible, feel free to. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Well, National Geographic gave the list of the 10 most important inventions for the world. Now, number one was the printing press. Number two was the light bulb. In fact, they even have a date for the invention of the light bulb, 14 October 1878. And yes, if you know the history of it, there was this ongoing development thing. There was people involved like Tesla. But it was Thomas Edison who invented the light bulb, 14 October 1878. You know, electrical light. Imagine inventing the light bulb in candlelight. I mean, after that moment, the world changed. In fact, the fact that you stay up too late at night, blame Thomas Edison. Now, ultimately, the fact that you're actually a little bit attached to that shiny device in your pocket, blame ultimately Thomas Edison. After 14 October 1878, we could live lives in light where before there was dark. The invention of the first light bulb changed everything. Now, I want us to think about Jesus' words here today. A bit of an explanation. It is Celebration Sunday. If you're visiting us today, so good to have you here with us today. Every Sunday we open up the Bible together, but we just don't randomly pick parts out of it and sort of talk about our favorite bits. Actually, we work fairly systematically through the Bible. I've got to say that in the Bible, where there's four biographies of Jesus, and they are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just after Christmas, we start working our way through Matthew, Matthew's gospel, Matthew's biography of Jesus. And where we're up to today is just where we're up to because we're at the previous passage last week. But this is Jesus teaching his would-be followers. Now, what Jesus is saying, and if you're a Christian, you'll find this extraordinary. If you're not a believer, maybe you're going to find this ludicrous. But with Jesus' words, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Jesus says the world is in darkness and Christians bring light. You know, you turn on a light and it affects a room, but followers of Jesus bring light to transform people's lives. I mean, depending on where you sit with this, it's possible you find that laughable. I'm saying you need light in your life. The world needs Christians. The world needs more Christians. For some, this statement is meme worthy. In fact, cute meme, what the world needs is more Christians. But this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying to his disciples, these first followers of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And like we do every Sunday here, we're going to work through this passage, and I hope I can make this clear for you. The way we're going to tackle these words of Jesus, and I'll break it up into a few sections here, but the parts are, you are salt and light, why you are light, got to think about lacking salt, and then finally, how to be salt and light. So first point, Jesus says two things, supposed to grab our attention. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Maybe salt is the one that doesn't sound as impressive to us. I mean, you know, all these diets, salt is out, sugar is out, gluten is out, the world is going crazy. I tell you, next time they're going to say delicious bacon fat is out. But Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth, because in those days, salt was good. Salt was necessary. See, they didn't have fridges. You couldn't make ice cubes. On a hot day, you couldn't buy a Slurpee. The dark ages people lived in, I tell you. The way you could keep and preserve things like meat was salt. Salt preserves. And for all you South Africans out there who like a good biltong, I mean, salt is really important, isn't it? You know, I love chicken salt on my chips, And that's just flavor. But Jesus is saying here more than that, you are the salt of the earth, which means you're necessary. You're needed. This world needs you. Like salt works to keep and preserve, you are the salt of the earth. Now, there's more to explain on that. We'll get back to that. But let's just think about that other statement, and that is you are the light of the world. I mean, this is a grandiose statement, isn't it? Not you are a candle in the wind. Not make sure you let your little light shine. This is you are the light of the world. This is grandiose. This is global. This is life-changing. This is life-transforming. To be light is to be a beacon. To be light is to shed light on people living in darkness. And maybe you get the sense this is a spiritual phrase, because it is. This idea of light is loaded with spiritual meaning. The idea of light is right through the Bible. And we need to keep unpacking this. But when Jesus says to his disciples, in other words, Christ followers, in other words, those who'll be Christians, that you are the light of the world, this is not sort of a self-improvement mantra that you are strong, you're free to be yourself, you are beautiful, you're deserving of all things, you are the light. No, thinking like that, that's just sort of self-help stuff. But from Jesus, this is a statement about the spiritual reality of things. There's a deep and impenetrable spiritual reality of darkness. And so Jesus is saying to his followers, in the midst of that reality, you are the light of the world. And I get it when someone will think, well, that's the height of arrogance, isn't it? Because this does make for this division thing, right? There are those in the light and there are those in the darkness. But to answer that, I want us to get to the next point. And that is why Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. So we actually need to understand certain central important things that you just need to know about Jesus. See, if you rewound a bit in Matthew's biography back to chapter 4, because we're in chapter 5 right now, but if you went back to chapter 4, it gives these words about Jesus. He says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, that's a word not about followers of Jesus, but about Jesus. That there is darkness, but when Jesus arrived, the light dawned. Or check out this from another time in Jesus' life. We're told when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, when you're a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, we hear this call to be the light of the world, but it's only because Jesus, first and foremost, he's the light of the world. I mean, if you're going to call anyone arrogant, you've got to first start with Jesus. And I want to say, get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus, his life. Get to know him. And you're actually going to find there's not an ounce of arrogance in him. And I want to say some things about Jesus being the light, taking people out of darkness. Jesus came because of darkness. It's a spiritual darkness. It's a moral darkness. It's the darkness that lays at the heart of all of us. Jesus said it at one point, he said, from out of our heart, in other words, from out of our own selves, comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Jesus was saying that out of our own hearts comes these things. Jesus he's sort of actually judgy, because he knows what we're like. He knows what you're like. He knows what I'm like. That's the heart of darkness in each of us. Now, this might be a really controversial thing to say this morning, and I don't mean to really offend people here today. That's not my intention at all. But with that atrocity, that abuse, and that heinous murder of that family, there was that statement that is used, that monster. And that is a good word. That is a good word. That monster. But Jesus shines a light into our hearts. The secret thoughts, the secret desires. God sees what we are really like, and there is a darkness in each of us. And Jesus is the light. I know there's that really dodgy book that's been out, you know, it's made it hard to use that phrase. But, you know, we can think in terms of shades of grey. Like, you know, they're terrible, and I'm glad I'm not like that. I might be bad, but I'm at least better than them. Shades of grey. But because of Jesus, there is light. And because of Jesus, there is darkness. I'll give you a quote, not from Jesus, but from a Russian novelist. Russians are famous for writing really long, hard-to-read novels. I've tried a couple times, always find it very hard. And they're very serious people, Russian novelists. But here's something that the writer Ivan Turgenev said, and I think he hits the mark. He said, "I do not know what the heart of a bad man is like, but I do know what the heart of a good man is like, and it is terrible." And I can relate to that because of what I've seen in my own heart, how I treat people, how I dream of treating people. There is a darkness within, and God sees that. God is personal, and he judges that. But his son Jesus came, the light of the world. And he didn't come to teach us out of darkness. He didn't come to inspire us out of darkness. He didn't come to make us self-righteous, to think, oh, look at others. At least I'm not in darkness. No, he came to rescue us out of darkness. And I'll put on the screen another verse from the Bible. Like I said, the theme of spiritual light and darkness is all the way through the Bible. So we have this one. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, this is a statement about Jesus dying on a cross. He was nailed to a timber cross. He was tortured to death. And as he breathed his last breath, it was a moment that looked as if light, the light of the world, was extinguished. Because Jesus was killed, but he paid the price for our darkness. He died in our place. Judgment fell on the Son of God, when rightly judgment should fall on us. And Jesus only can rescue us from the darkness. And Jesus was raised to life. Darkness was defeated through Jesus, you see, and through Jesus only, through faith in Jesus only. We can enjoy rest and enjoy rest in forgiveness, in eternal, blessed, never wavering forgiveness from God through Jesus. Darkness is defeated for us as well. So getting back to that statement we're actually looking at today, from Jesus to his followers, "You are the light of the world." It's not, and it should not be, a claim of arrogance. It's claiming the truth of Jesus for the world. It's holding out the hope of Jesus for the world. Not thinking we're better than others, but we want others to discover what we have found. When was the electrical light invented? Apparently 14 October 1878. The light of the world that the Christians point to, well, it's when Jesus died on a cross and rose again about 33 AD. The reason Christians take this call from Jesus to be the light of the world, well, it's because Jesus is the light of the world. We want to show and tell Jesus. Christians haven't grown out of show and tell. We show and tell Jesus. Soon enough, we're going to have a membership moment and a baptism moment for a bunch of young people. I want to read out what one of them has said in the lead up to today. This person said, "Jesus died to save me from my sins, despite how I constantly reject him. The knowledge that I have salvation through Jesus Christ is what drives me to live my life as a follower of him. I want to learn more about God, how to follow him, and how I can share the good news to those around me." Can you see how that person isn't arrogant, but wants to bring the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world? So we've looked at Jesus' call to his disciples. You are salt and light. That's why Jesus are salt and light. Well, next point is it's a bit more about what Jesus is saying about lacking salt. Now, if Jesus is saying to Christians, you are like salt, it's salt in a good way, not salt that causes heart disease, okay, but salt that preserves, good salt. You know how things go rotten? Well, salt stops that. Christians are supposed to be a moral preservative. Just as Jesus showed, Christians are supposed to bring to this world the moral preservative of justice, compassion, purity, protection for the weak and vulnerable, service to others, humility, type of service that builds up rather than tears down. That's how we're to be salt of the earth, keeping the rot away. You could also say that's part of being salt, light of the world. In other words, Christians are supposed to make the world better. What the world needs is more Christians. But then the criticism comes, have Christians made the world better. Could say, look what goes on in churches. Look at the issue of abuse, hiding abuse, justifying abuse, allowing domestic violence. People have been terribly hurt by church leaders, by things done in God's name. And there's no denying that people would say, maybe some of you would say, Christians haven't been this moral preservative. They're the ones that have brought the rot. Might say, Christians have not brought the light. They've put me in the darkness. And how terrible that has been the case. But please notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus' condemnation here doesn't fall on the world. His condemnation here falls on those who are supposed to be the moral agents, the moral preservative, and yet fail. Salt is supposed to be salty. Salt is supposed to be different and distinct. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' time, salt was good and necessary. Salt is supposed to make things better. But when salt isn't salty, doesn't live up to what it's supposed to do. What does Jesus say? If salt loses its taste, if salt loses its saltiness, how shall its salt be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. See that thrown out and trampled down. This is a warning to those who think of themselves as salt of the earth or light of the world, but don't act like it. Injustice and abuse, it happens in churches. Terrible things are done in God's name. But I beg you, check out Jesus. Jesus was humble. He was a servant, someone who loved the outcast, the outsider, who saw religious hypocrisy for what it is. He knows our hearts, our dark, sinful hearts, and yet in love, Jesus went to the cross. He died so that we can live forever. And he judges hypocrisy and abuse and injustice. Jesus judges all sin. You know, these words of Jesus to his followers, Christians, about salt of the earth, light to the world, it does make for division. There are those who belong to Jesus, salt, light. There are those who don't, darkness. And what a terrible thing when so-called followers of Christ, just like the world, it should not be. God judges that. Just one last thing today, and that is some specifics on how to be salt and light. And let's just focus more on the light part of what Jesus says. In fact, let's read those words again. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." A light is not meant to be hidden. When you turn on a light at home, you don't sort of get a cardboard box and tape it up on the ceiling so you can't see the light. No, light is meant to give light. And just to say, when you're a Christian, you're called by Jesus to make it show. Unlike what some people suggest, Christianity, it's not this private state of mind. It's not this sort of personal religious sensibility. No, we found new life in following Jesus, so we just have to make it shown, show and tell Jesus. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Ever had that experience of, you know, driving back from the country, get closer to the city, and the glow of the city is just there? Well, when you're a Christian, when you're part of church even, we're supposed to make ourselves known, where to glow, that we belong to Jesus. I've got to say, sometimes us Christians can be really tempted to keep it always on the down low, keep the light covered, at school, at work, with the neighbors, sporting team we play with. But this is a rally call from Jesus to shine. Because with what Jesus has done for us, we are the light of the world. And check out again what Jesus says. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Christians are supposed to shine Jesus' light. Christians are supposed to do good works. Good works means doing good for the world. By what we say, by what we do, show and tell Jesus. Christians are supposed to be different in our character, our honesty, our purity, our humility, our mercy, our compassion, our words to build up rather than tear down. We're to reflect the light of Jesus. And I've got to say today, with the membership moment and baptisms, in the setting of church with friends and family along today, which is so good, for these people going forward today, in a way, they're letting their light shine. Not putting their lamp, you know, under the basket. Being public about their faith in Jesus. Letting everyone know they belong to Jesus, that Jesus died for them and rose again. It's going to be a good moment. It's going to be reason for so many of us to praise our Father in heaven. Jesus made these big, these huge statements for those who would be his followers. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And these are statements for those who belong to Jesus. They are about you're necessary, you're important, you're essential, you're needed. It's a lot to live up for, a lot to live up to. But the good news is Christians aren't about look at me. Because I'm imperfect, I struggle, I'm learning, I'm growing. This light is just a reflecting light. So look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and died on a cross and paid the price for our sin and shame. And he rose again. A Christian is a light. Show and tell Jesus. And it's only Jesus who can take away the darkness in our world, in our hearts, for all eternity. Well, I'm going to pray now. I invite you to pray with me if you'd like. So, Father, we thank you so much for Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. Father, thank you so much that he came and he paid the price. That in that moment, as he breathed his last breath, light was extinguished. He paid the price, not for his sin, but for ours. We thank you so much for Jesus that he did that for us. But light ruled again. He was raised to life. We thank you so much that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the hope that this world needs. And Father, for all those who belong to Jesus, help us to shine that light to others, knowing that in Jesus there is salvation, there is love, there is hope. And in his name we pray. Amen.